Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Body Check by J.J. Audius. Narrated by Carrie Coelho. Chapter 1. Mansha laid his massive, gray-and-white pit bull head in Fob's lap the moment she pulled off the main road, his whine a mournful lament. "I know, buddy. I'm gonna miss you so much." She rubbed the side of his face where a splotch of gray spread over half his fur like a melted eye patch. "But you're going to have so much fun at Grandma's house." His pitch got higher and more insistent the further away from Atlanta they traveled. Usually he loved going to the suburbs, but despite her best efforts, he'd noticed her suitcases in the back of the SUV. She didn't blame him. The last time she left him like this, she came back with nothing to show for it. "They're gonna let you sleep in the bed, okay? I promise." Fob ran her thumb behind where his ear would have been if he hadn't lost it as a puppy before she rescued him. 45 minutes from her loft, her mom and stepdad lived in a farmhouse with an enormous yard and plenty of room for Mansha to run free in the adjoining woods. Even if she'd miss her constant companion, she knew he'd be well cared for and happy for the 9 weeks she'd be gone. Assuming she lasted that long. Fob gripped the sun-warmed steering wheel. This time, she wouldn't let herself get stabbed in the back. Fob's car bounced over the dirt path when the pavement ended. She pulled her dark glasses down to keep the noonday summer sun out of her eyes. She followed the road, lined with broad, mossy willow trees, to a chain-link gate standing open. At the end of the long driveway, her parents were sitting on their wraparound porch waiting for them. "Look, Mansha!" She patted his chest to get him excited. "Look who's waiting for you! Is that Tilo?" At the sound of the Chihuahua's name, Mansha perked up. He loved the 7-pound terror, even if the feeling wasn't always mutual. "Look, he's with Grandma!" Mansha's heavy paws dug into her thigh as he used her like a diving board to rocket himself up. His muscular 60-pound frame smashed against the car window, his hard head hitting the glass with a clonk. "See? I told you." The moment Fob opened her door, Mansha bulldozed over her and sprang out of the car. Despite her many attempts to explain it to him, he didn't believe he was any larger than Tilo. Fob followed Mansha to the porch, where he'd already tripped up the steps and slammed into her stepdad's legs, insisting on being greeted with pets and proclamations of being the bestest boy. "Hola, Mai," she greeted her mom, while smoothing down her black tank top and leggings. Fob and her mother shared the same long dark hair, big almond-shaped eyes, and golden olive skin. They would also have the same soft, curvy form if Fob didn't exercise for a living. After Tilo got tired of biting Mansha's ankles to establish his dominance, they took off down the porch steps to run in the grass. "Hi, honey." Her mother kissed her on one cheek and then the other before hugging her. Fob wrapped her well-defined arms around her mother and squeezed. Her stepdad, tall and slim, came in for a hug next. "Hey, Ted. Where are you off to this time?" He motioned for her to follow them to the rocking chairs under the spinning fans. Fob was happy to get out of the stagnant Georgia heat, but she didn't have time to sit. "They don't tell her until she gets to the airport," her mother explained, her face folded over with worry. "I got a clue from one of the producers I became friendly with last time." Fob resisted the urge to whisper, as if someone was hiding in the bushes to catch her violating the non-disclosure agreement. "It's going to be somewhere extremely cold." Mansha ran up the porch, knocking into the back of her legs before flying back down the steps where Tilo was waiting in the grass, his tiny pink tongue lolling out of his open mouth as he waited for Mansha to run in circles around him.
"You'll be careful, Fabiola Singh."
Her mother cupped Fob's face.
"Don't get hurt."
"I'll try," she promised. This time she wasn't a sheltered 21-year-old. After a tearful goodbye, she left Mansha panting at her mother's feet. Instead of letting herself miss him, She imagined how happy he would be racing through the creek later that afternoon. He was a terrible swimmer, but that didn't stop him from loving the water. An hour later, she was pulling into a private airport. Leaving her SUV in the modest garage, she strapped on a backpack and rolled two large suitcases into the small building. As soon as she walked into the small lobby, she spotted the production assistant.
Fabiola Santos!
The young man jumped out of his seat and darted toward her. She nodded, even though it wasn't posed as a question, and slid her sunglasses up to use them as a headband. Her long ponytail slipped off her shoulder and over the top of her backpack.
Hi, I'm Mike.
His smile was excessive and unrestrained.
Let's get you checked in.
He gestured for Fab to hand over her bags for him to take. She didn't loosen her grip on the handles as she followed him through the security checkpoint.
Your season is the first one I ever watched.
He stared at her with the wide eyes of someone meeting their hero.
I can't believe that 6 years later, here I am taking you to an All-Stars season.
Fab shifted her weight between her neon green sneakers. She'd never gotten used to her minor celebrity status. She'd prefer to compete in physical challenges without the cameras. After checking her bags, they started for one of four gates.
I couldn't believe it when you lost, he said as they walked.
Fab gripped her backpack straps. She didn't want to think about the past. All she wanted to do was focus on the future, on her second chance, on redemption.
What was it like to be down to the wire like that?
Mike, the PA, continued, undeterred by her discomfort.
You and Cameron Herrera were literally neck and neck after that grueling final obstacle. 3 days in the jungle, countless challenges, and then she crossed the finish line like 2 seconds before you.
The more excited he got, the higher his pitch. Fab worried he was going to turn supersonic soon. If he imploded, at least she wouldn't get dragged down memory lane, her skin shredding over all the jagged rocks in the road.
I was so sure you were going to win. Apart from just dominating your season, you were beating her the whole time. What the hell happened?
She stabbed me in the back.
Bad luck,
Fab replied, her voice low and her jaw tight.
Are you excited to know where we're filming this year?
Mike handed their boarding passes to the agent at the gate, along with their passports. Fab strained her eyes, but she couldn't make out the destination on the ticket.
I'll give you a clue,
he whispered as they walked down the gangway toward the charter plane. Based on the intel that they were filming in a cold climate over their summer, she'd narrowed it down to Patagonia, Greenland, or the northern reaches of Canada. Cutthroat Island was the longest-running reality competition show in the United States. Over the course of 2 decades, the themes had changed, but the challenges always took place on an island. There were only so many of those covered in ice this time of year.
It's only a 3-hour flight,
he said with a wink, before plopping down on the seat next to her in the small plane.
3 hours?
Fab cycled through all the destinations 3 hours from Atlanta. None of them were on her list of possible suspects. Mike, the PA, leaned over. Even though they were the only ones seated on the flight so far, he whispered.
If you want to hand over your phone now, I can tell you.
Fab reached into the side pocket of her leggings and pulled out her phone. After sending a text to her mother, letting her know she was on the plane and about to go radio silent until she either won or lost Cutthroat Island, she turned off her phone.
Technically, I'm supposed to check your bags for extra phones before I tell you this.
His face lit up with excitement, as if divulging secrets was his absolute favorite pastime.
But I know you'd never break the rules.
He slid her phone in his jeans pocket and sat back down in his aisle seat.
Belize!
He wiggled his brows with unparalleled enthusiasm.
Well, a private island off the coast, but technically it's part of Belize.
Shutting her eyes, Fab leaned back and thought about the thousands of dollars in winter gear being loaded into the underside of the charter plane. All useless. After realizing that she and Mike were going to be the only passengers on the flight, she started focusing on her game. She'd spent the last month imagining and training for all cold weather games. Doing burpees in a meat locker wouldn't help on a hot, humid island in the Caribbean. Merde. When the pilot announced their descent 2.5 hours later, Fob looked out the window. The island below was a long, narrow strip of land in a bright sapphire ocean. It looked like a snake slithering in the warm water. Most of it was covered in miles and miles of trees. The snake's head was a sandy beach with a huge building at the center. At its tail, a bunch of tiny little huts sat over the water, each at the end of a long dock. She imagined the kinds of challenges the show's producers could devise in the landscape. Taking long, deep breaths, she prepared herself for the landing. The moment the wheels touched the small tarmac in the clearing, it was game on. After the pilot gave the okay, Fob stood and pulled her sunglasses back on. She was ready to play. "God, this is so cool," Mike squealed as he fitted her with a tiny microphone and battery pack as they stood in the aisle. When she lifted her shirt to her sports bra, she flexed her muscles. Just a little. His eyes widened. "Damn, you came jacked. You're not playing around." The corner of Fob's lips twitched, but she fended off the urge to smile. She did allow herself to stand a little taller. She'd been working hard to be in optimal condition for her return to the competition. The way she understood it, this season would be full of competitors that had gotten within snatching distance of the win, although she doubted any of them had gotten there the way she had.
"Ready?"
Mike beamed. Fob nodded and led the way out of the plane and down a set of stairs leading to the tarmac below. As soon as she stepped out, she was met by the familiar sight of cameras and a full production crew. Nerves washed over her. A pang of panic flashed in her chest. The seaweed smoothie she'd had for breakfast threatened to make an appearance. She gripped the straps on her backpack and held onto them like they were a piece of driftwood after a shipwreck, as if hanging onto the pack could keep her from getting pulled under the waves. Ignoring the cameras, she walked toward the modern resort. She reminded herself that in a few days she would forget the cameras were there. Keeping her back straight and her sunglass-covered eyes trained on the sprawling building ahead, she gave producers what they wanted. She had a role to play. The Ice Queen. The Alpha. The Bitch. Tropical birds cried as they flew overhead. A chorus of ear-splitting tee-chee-tee.
"Where's Stan?"
Fob asked one of the producers, standing near the path leading to the building, flanked by lush, tropical vegetation. From her experience, they'd mash together short shots of each of the contestants filing off the plane and play them at the start of the first episode. What she said didn't matter, only what she looked like. The producer, of which there would be over a dozen, fiddled with the walkie-talkie in her hand.
"Fired,"
she said simply. As Fob wondered whether Stan lied to her on purpose, she pulled her suitcases toward the building. She didn't stop to let herself enjoy the ocean breeze filtering through the huge green banana leaves and cooling her already perspiring skin. Fob only got as far as the lobby of the high-end spa resort the show had commandeered for a few months before another producer stopped her. He took her bags and directed her outside. They would be filming the intros right away. No time to rest. Her sneakers squeaked as she crossed the lobby, its dark brown tile floor an attractive contrast to the stark white walls and absurdly high ceilings. The reflecting pool cutting through the center of the space preached enlightenment and non-attachment, while bragging about the most luxurious meditation retreat. As she wondered what it would cost to stay at the opulent resort as a guest, she stepped outside. Beyond the enormous walk-in pool, surrounded by teak deck chairs and a dozen white tent cabanas, contestants were lined up on the sand between the resort and the beach. With another deep breath, she set her expression somewhere between intimidating and indifferent. She gathered clues as she strolled, taking great pains to move only her eyes as she scanned her environment. The cabanas were empty. No red paramedic tents on the beach, only white ones for the crew and equipment. They were not doing a physical challenge of any sort, or medics would already be on hand. On the beach, there was no sign of puzzles or brain teasers. No strange obstacle to test their nerve or daring. Nothing but 11 contestants already standing on their markers. The 6 tallest standing on a long riser, and the remaining 5 standing in front of them. There was 1 spot left in the front, presumably for Fob. But 12 was too few contestants for 9 weeks of filming. There was a gimmick, one she wasn't aware of, and there were a few things Fob hated more than surprises. Tense, it was easy to remain stoic as she eyed her competition. The 12 of them were divided into 9 men and 3 women. Fob recognized a few. Most were popular contestants from the seasons before hers. A couple were much newer. At 5'5", Fob was one of the shortest competitors. As directed by the producer, she took her place at the end and prepared to wait. Behind her, Brian, the guy from the most recent season, who couldn't be much older than the minimum requirement of 21, shifted his feet. She'd watched his performance. The wannabe Vin Diesel was so arrogant and obnoxious, he'd gotten himself voted into the elimination challenge week after week. Week after week, he'd been gifted with a purely physical challenge and saved himself from a trip home. Fob could never confirm, but she suspected that production selected the elimination task based on who was on the chopping block. The moment he was paired with a female challenger and given a task that involved brains over brawn, he'd failed miserably. Wiping the sand with his smug face was going to be fun. Fob took stock of the rest of the contestants. They'd all been branded as the villain, or at the very least, difficult. She knew she didn't deserve the moniker, but if that was this season's theme, she would be expected to seek redemption. Near sunset, the production crew swarmed the sand. The host, Jeanette Allen, started toward them in a pale orange linen dress. As a former college basketball player, she had the athletic grace of Robin Roberts and the shrewd business acumen of Oprah. Before she took over hosting in the show's 3rd season, it was a sardine in the sea of endless competition reality shows. Now it was the king of the ocean. "Challengers!" she greeted them with the wide, sweeping voice that signaled they were already filming. "Welcome back to Cutthroat Island!" Fob crossed her arms over her chest and braced herself. "The 12 of you have been invited back for good reason." Jeanette's black, curly hair fluttered around her face in the breeze. "On your season, you were all tough to beat," she said with a manufactured smile, as her dark eyes swept over Fob first and then the rest. "But you didn't win." Fob swallowed the 6-year-old disappointment. She was on the All-Star season to take her rightful place at the top. No tricks, no distractions. Not this time. "There is something you did do, rather than claim the title of cutthroat champion." Jeanette's pause filled Fob with an overwhelming sense of dread. The mischief in her eyes was chilling. "You earned yourself a rival." Jeanette raised her arm like Vanna White revealing a vowel. "Now you're here to resolve your unfinished business." From behind one of the tents, 12 new contestants emerged. As soon as she saw the flash of long pink hair, she understood why she was there. She was there for Cameron Herrera. Tall and lean and deceptive, she was the woman who'd stolen her $250,000 in prize money and now spent her days posing thirst traps on her socials while pretending to be an influencer. The social butterfly and femme fatale rolled into one dangerous vessel was going to be her real competition. This wasn't about redemption. It was about revenge. Chapter 2. Sand crept hot and harsh into Cam's sneakers, She ignored the discomfort and watched Fob's reaction as she approached. Despite the sunglasses, she could feel Fob's glare, could hear her wishing she could disintegrate her with her eyes. Her stomach clenched. Fabiola Santos was even more beautiful than she'd been 6 years ago, and she'd been stunning then. The recent pictures on her social media account didn't capture the sharp cut of her jaw, the glossy black of her long, straight hair, the raw power in her body, the lingering hatred in her heart.
"Some of you were selected because of your in-game rivalry," Jeanette said, as Cam and the others lined up on their marks to her side and faced their competition. "For others, the feud developed after you left the island."
Aware of the cameras, Cam resisted the urge to wince. Fob had fired the first shots on social media, and Cam should have let them go. Things had gotten so out of hand.
"If you want to be the last team standing on Cutthroat Island and win a $500,000 prize, you're going to have to figure out how to work together as a team," Jeanette announced. "You heard me correctly. This year, we've doubled the usual prize money. That's $500,000 on the line."
Fob's upper lip twitched, her disdain a living, breathing thing, desperate to break free from its confines and throttle Cam.
"Fabiola, please come and join your partner, Cameron, the person who had just a little more gas in the tank than you."
Cam's stomach dropped out of her body at the harsh lie. Despite Jeanette's direction, Fob didn't move. Cam clung to her own hands, as if that might keep the cold panic in her belly at bay. Would Fob refuse to play with her? Jeanette opened her mouth to speak again, but Fob stepped forward before she did.
"No one said this was going to be easy, folks,"
Jeanette laughed before naming the next pair. Without acknowledging her, Fob took her place at Cam's side. This was going to be a lot harder than she anticipated. Things were already not going as she'd envisioned them. When the producer pitching to her let the theme of the season slip, and then intimated that Fabiola had already committed, she imagined a chance to make amends. She should have expected that it wouldn't be so simple. As soon as they were organized into 12 pairs, Jeanette gave a little speech about unfinished business. It was so heavy-handed, Cam guessed it would be the season's tagline. Cam couldn't stop looking over at Fob, wishing she would talk to her. 9 weeks wasn't long enough to make up for her mistake, but it was all she had.
"Oh, and one more thing."
Jeanette's painted lips curled into a terrifying grin.
"There's another tiny little wrinkle. Getting to the end will depend entirely on your ability to work together on the challenges. This season, no one will be getting voted into elimination."
She paused as if giving them time to absorb her news.
"The only social game that matters here is the one between you and your partner. Every week, the team who performs the worst is gone. So figure out how to work with the person you hate, or go home."
A huge guy Cam didn't recognize, because she'd never watched the show again, not even her own season, cheered. Apparently, the crippling elimination of the social game was as good for him as it was devastating for her. The second they were dismissed, Cam turned to her.
"Fob, I..."
As if Cam had never spoken, Fob turned on her heels and started for the resort.
"Shit. Cameron!"
A woman from one of the opposing teams waved at her as she approached.
"I hate to fangirl over here, but you are my absolute favorite. I wake up to your videos every morning. That tea you turned me on to? Absolutely amazing. I only wish I had my phone with me so we could take a selfie. Is it okay if I hug you?"
Cam indulged her in a hug.
"I even got my septum pierced because of you."
She pointed at her nose, where she had a thin hoop nearly identical to hers.
"So worth the pain."
Cam laughed and made as much polite conversation as she could while being preoccupied. When the woman dropped that her name was Aisha, Cam picked up the tidbit and put it in her pocket.
Should we check out the digs? The PA that picked me up at the airport said we're all getting our own rooms this season. No doors, though.
Aisha shrugged. What Cam really wanted to do was find Fabiola. She might be able to get a minute with her outside the camera's view. In the first few weeks, with so many contestants, they couldn't be everywhere at once.
Let's do it, Cam said,
with as much effervescence as she could fake. Before she was cast on her season, 6 years earlier, she'd watched Cutthroat Island religiously. There was always some hidden twist, some trick. Jeanette might say that the social game wasn't going to come into play, but she didn't trust that. It wouldn't hurt to be friendly. The Pepem Resort was the kind of lavish place where people assumed Cam spent her winnings, the kind of swanky opulence she posted about on her social media, but only if it was comped and hashtag sponsored. Aisha complained about her partner as they flitted through the lobby, buzzing with cast and crew. The first few weeks were absolute bedlam, but eventually the cameras blended into the background and the cast found a rhythm. That's when people usually started playing the mental game, not just the physical. But whoever waited that long was too late.
Do you want to get a drink?
Aisha's bright brown eyes sparkled. Cam hated turning her down, but with the crew filming the throng getting drunk and jumping in the pool, Cam thought she had a fair chance at Fab. A moment of real before the show. What she needed to say couldn't be picked up by a camera or a microphone. The roughly 30 guest rooms were spread over two floors, perched above the main level. Every room had its door removed from its hinges. The toilet was behind a door, but the sink and shower were exposed. Every room, every hallway, was outfitted with cameras. Cam wondered how long it had taken to scout a place like this, one suited perfectly to the show's needs. It probably took weeks to add all the clandestine cameras production hoped the contestants would forget about. Near the end of the hall on the third level, Cam heard the musical sounds of aggressive unpacking, drawers slamming, faint Portuguese cursing. Fab was the only person in the entire house more concerned with putting things away than being with the group. Her social game had always been atrocious. If she hadn't won herself immunity so often on their original season, she would have been sent home first. But the rules were different this time. Following the sounds, Cam stopped in Fob's doorway. The rooms were identical. Modern white walls, dark hardwood floors, dark wood frame bed, and a balcony overlooking a rugged coastline and tropical gardens. If her room was like Cam's, the balcony door would be locked. Producers wanted them to spend as much time in communal spaces as possible. It was why chairs and desks and tables had been removed from the rooms, along with the televisions and phones. It was all part of the pressure cooker experience. Cam tried to still herself with a deep breath. It was so hard to look at Fab without wanting to break. Mindful of the cameras set into the hallway and above the room door, Cam hurried. They caught video, but not audio. Sliding her hand up the back of her shirt, Cam turned off her mic. As soon as a producer noticed where she was, they'd send a camera.
Hey,
Cam said, sounding more hesitant than she'd like. Fab didn't look up from where she was refolding a thick, long-sleeved shirt from a stack of folded garments on her bed. There was no doubt Fab noticed her lingering before she spoke. Fab wanted to look busy, or maybe just avoid looking at her.
Did they check your protein powder, too?
Cam glanced at the several large white canisters arranged on the dresser where the television would have been.
What kind of contraband do they think we're going to sneak in there anyway? Unapproved tampons?
Her joke fell so flat, Cam could almost hear the echoing clang of it hitting the floor. Fab had no comment.
You can't just ignore me the whole time, Fabiola.
Cam entered the room without waiting for an invitation. Fab's hands stilled, but the muscle in her jaw wouldn't be restrained. It danced at a steady rhythm, beating out messages of contempt in Morse code. Her eyes cut away from her bed and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?